talking about halachot ben adam lechavero. Right, halachot between one and his fellow friend, like we said. And we're bringing here in the introduction all kinds of things that happen to us all during the day, and how we have to realize our friend. Not to be selfish. Right? Some people, they think they're doing the best, biggest mitzvah, and they're not. So, right? So we have to learn the halachot, the halachot that we react. So we talked today a little bit about during like a seudah, there's a meal. How do you behave during a seudah so you don't bother your friend? So let's see. Cheder ochel, o makom achilat ziburi, bo nahug shekol hamakdim tofes mekomot pnuyim gam avur acherim. If there's a dining room or a place where people eat and there's no set seats, where you come, you sit wherever you want. Like Israeli weddings, right? A lot of times there's no... There's no place card. You sit where you want. Right? Or places where they, And there's a lot of seats. Or let's say a place where they're giving out food now, and there's plenty. That is a little bit. It'll be the same. You're allowed to save seats for your friend or food for your friend. But if, by you saving seats or food for your friend, someone else is losing because of this, because it's not enough, and your friend is not here, or your family member, then you're not allowed to do that. Okay? Also by a bus, there's a lot of times like that. But by buses, I don't know, because a lot of times people are pushing and stuff, and you can't go, you can't, the lady with the babies outside, she can't go pushing. Maybe they're allowed to carry cat seats, I don't know. But I'm talking about by food.
What about, I noticed that pushing, like older people get pushed to the back by the teenagers.
Yeah.
And women with babies get pushed.
But they can't push forward, so they get pushed back.
Can somebody tell me that that's not correct?
If you think that will help, you can try doing that. I tell you, it will not help.
I have a hard enough time getting my daughter to bed at a reasonable time.
What does that do with
teenagers?
Teenagers.
So I thought it might help because I catch the bus going home. This is a rough way to go. Coming here is okay, no problem. But going back, there's one pickup stop. So you have like 40 people at the stop. And I'm always amazed that the older people and women with babies, that they don't make a way for them. They're like, okay, you guys go first. It's amazing.
It's not covered.
And I was thinking, that, you know, should I say something to them? I mean, I'm not a...
Once I was
know,
in...
I don't know my place.
I was in Hebron once, many years ago. It was Pesach 9.5 years ago. My son was 1 month old, my old. And we were trying to get on the bus to go back to Yerushalayim. And whenever there was a bus opening, everyone was running towards it. And I was with a 1 month old baby, you can't run and push. And for a long time, you can't get on the bus. And this was one guy, he had also children, they got very upset. He ran over to the front of the bus, to the front of the where the bus came, and he started pushing. People were shocked. He moved away. He was very upset. What?
I was in Hebron a couple weeks ago for some pastoral, and it just fills up for that second round of dancing after the
Kapochniyot, yeah.
Yeah, right. So, it didn't matter who you were. It absolutely didn't matter. Women with kids, little kids, older people, you just kept pushing. You know? And then once you're in the hall, you have to be careful because everybody's dancing.
It was a crowded place. So, if you're eating, look, there's a halachas over here. If you're eating on the same table with a lot of people, and there's a last piece on the table, you need to ask everyone if they want before you take it. You're gonna let it take yourself. Ask everyone if they want.
In America, they say, who wants to be the old maid?
Old maid?
Old maid.
I've never heard of that.
Someone did not eat yet, of course, they're the one who's allowed to take it.
Right.
But if you ate already and there's another mana left over, you ask everyone else if they want. Gentle. You're sitting in a hall, in a wedding, and you served your meal, right? You served your meal, your mana. No one else is allowed to take it from you. It's stealing. If he's taking it from you, even though the one who bought it is the Bala Simcha, if it was put in front of you, you bought it. It's yours. No, you know, I can't take it from someone whose meal was put in front of him. It's stealing. It's called stealing. I don't think it's stealing. Now, if you're hosting in a house, people are not yet keeping Torah mitzvahs, and they don't know they need to wash and make a bracha on bread, right? So me'ikar adin, you're not allowed to put in front of them bread. If you know they're not going to wash, you can't put in front of them bread. Usually they'll wash because you're going to go wash. Come now, we wash, and they all go wash, right? But let's say they don't know, I don't want, unless it's your parents. If it's your parents, then you're allowed to serve them.
What about relatives?
Hmm?
Cousins? Aunts? Uncles?
No, so you can't give them bread.
You can't give them bread?
Unless you can put it in front on the table if they want to eat. But if you're serving them, make them a sandwich now. So you have to tell them, come, we wash. We should wash first. Make a bracha, help them say the bracha. Okay? The bread, you cannot serve them bread. You can serve other things, and make a bracha out loud. And then when they hear it, it's like they said it, and then they eat it. So also good.
Shabbat,
they'll wash your hand. They'll wash usually.
Yeah.
So, sorry about.
It's a difficulty.
John tells the story when he was still young. Before he became religious and he went to a Berlin, he didn't know about washing hands. He didn't wash his hands, he was coming over for Shabbat, whatever. And one time he realized that people were washing their hands, he asked, oh, Berlin, why don't you already know you're washing hands? He said, now you're ready to wash your hands.
What did he realize?
Yeah. And he didn't wash his hands and he didn't go to a Berlin.
Very interesting. So? You don't look at the face someone is eating, and well, you don't look at his meal. Right? It's embarrassing. Maybe you have a conversation with someone, so. Can the Buddha hurt? You gotta look at your Rebbe when he's eating. The mitzvah, look at him. You learn how to eat. There's a mitzvah, there's a halacha that whatever the Baal HaBayis tells you, you're guest someone. Whatever the Baal HaBayis tells you, you do. He tells you, come drink, can't say no. You have to drink it, come eat it. But it's for health reasons you let us say no. Let's say you can't have sugar, right? Or you don't drink Coca-Cola because it's poison, right? Or whatever, something else. You're on a diet now and you're not having cake, so you can say. Or you're worried for the hechsher, also you could say, no, I don't want it. So, okay? That's regarding all kinds of halachas. There'll be more, a lot more, just going through little subjects and then we'll go into the sefer. Regarding Limud Torah, yeah. It's a great thing about learning with the Chavrusa. It's an advantage. Usually you learn a lot more. But there are some people, if they know they will grow if they learn alone, so they should learn alone. They should learn alone. The Chazon Ish. A lot of his life he learned alone. Avadei Yosef, all these huge people. A lot of their life they learned alone. They learned a lot more than they learned alone. Just have to have a... Okay? Now. Now halacha is a chavrusa. We're here. When one, he sets to learn with a chavrusa, he sets that I'm going to learn with you tomorrow at 3 o'clock, okay? Fine, great. And then, he meets this big rev, he says, you know, you want to learn with this rev, tells him you want to learn with you at 3 o'clock? So he's not going to learn with that rev. He has to go learn with the guy that he was kovet with, even though he's learning aleph bet with him. That's really what he's learning with him. Kovet with some of the time, to go there and be there and do halacha. But if you set a chavrusa, and you're learning every day, and you realize it's not good for you, there's certain lackings in the learning, and you think you can learn with someone else even better, then you're allowed to go over, of course, and over the chavrusa. Okay? But first try it. See, maybe if it's not good, fine, to go learn with the chavrusa. But Stam, just because he's a better guy or whatever, just to go transfer without even trying to learn with the one you set with, not to set up. Someone learning with a chavrusa, and his chavrusa, he fell asleep during the learning, right? Or he set to learn with him at 3. He said, "I'm resting here for an hour. Okay, wake. I'm resting here for an hour. Learn at 3." He didn't tell him to wake him up, and he went to rest. And it's 3 o'clock, and he's still sleeping on the bench. Okay, if he knows that his friend wants him to wake him up, he's not going to be upset of him, so he should wake him up. But if he thinks, he's probably be upset at me, he gets upset at me when I wake him up, he's sleeping, he probably needs to sleep, so then it shouldn't wake him up. Yeah? I tell my wife, wake me up, we will get up and all that, wake me up, I don't care what time it is. That's a miss. If someone learning in a mismedrash or in a shul, you're allowed to learn out loud, yeah? And no one around there at 11 o'clock in the morning can do shot to him. He's learning. It's the time that people are learning. But if he's doing it at the time that usually people are sleeping, you should learn a bit lower. Yeah? That's it in a shul. But if it's in a dormitory or in a private house, right, these places where usually people don't, it's not set for learning, there you can't bother anyone. It doesn't matter what time it is during the day. So if you're learning in a Chol Chatzot like me, I learn in a neighborhood, in Nashali, right, so you're supposed to, in the middle of the night, you're supposed to lower your voice a little bit, not to do too loud, so the neighbors don't wake up. That's regarding learning a little bit. As soon as they go detail into everything, he's giving examples, he wants to bring examples, how Ben Adam Lechaveroi, it has to do with everything in our life. Everything. Regarding kibud orim. A man and a woman are obligated to respect their parents. The woman, once she's married, she's obligated to listen to her husband first. Okay? So if the husband tells you, no, you're not calling your mother now, she's not allowed to call her mother now.
She doesn't call her mother.
So the husband tells you now, you shouldn't call your mother now, so you're not allowed to call her mother. Let's say it's Arab Shabbos, it's pressure now. He knows that once she gets on the phone, her mother doesn't know how to cut off the conversation, she doesn't know either. And now there's pressure in Arab Shabbos, and the husband says, not now. Call later, call after Shabbos to tell him I didn't have time. So she has to listen to it, but it's kibud orim. She can't tell him, I mean, he must listen to her, but she shouldn't tell him what to do. Regarding kibud orim, he has to do kibud orim more than he has to do. But she has to listen to him more than kibud orim. Okay? Husband comes first and then the parents. I was thinking also when a man is nifter, so they say the son of, right? He's the son of, whatever. Right? When a woman is nifter, what do they say? The wife of. Right? Only Rabbeinu, they say the son of the mother. So.
But that doesn't show disrespect. It's just the way it's supposed to be done.
Yeah. A husband is obligated, chayav from the Torah, to respect his father-in-law and mother-in-law. And also, if her husband lets her, she's obligated to respect his parents. And if he doesn't want her to respect his parents, so she's not allowed to respect his parents. You should charge.
Out of respect.
That's it. He has a fighting with them. Don't talk to them. We don't talk to them. So you just have a casual.
That's not right. That's not right.
Why not?
I don't know. I don't know the situation, but I, you know, it's just not right. I don't think it's right.
I can understand perfectly
all
what
kinds of situations.
And
I know, not
getting into it.
I know a situation.
Life is too short.
I know a situation. Okay? I had a situation. Can't say too many details. Where I was involved in this also. That a woman, her mother used to come to them Shana Rishana without telling them. And the Rav told the husband, you tell your wife that we lock the door, and if your mother comes, she can stay outside. That's what they did. And that saved their marriage, because otherwise they would have destroyed the marriage. So what is he? Is disrespectful? No. That's kibudoi. There's certain things which are more valuable than your parents. Your marriage, right?
Right.
Good. Sometimes you have a situation, so you have to... If you know you have, she has a kesher with her parents and it destroys your marriage, because her mother influences her over other things, or it makes her feel bad all the time she talks to her mother, and her mother goes down on her and talks about negative about her and stuff like that. So the husband can tell his wife, don't talk to your mother. And he's doing a favor with his wife. This is like situations. I know situations.
She says, when people come over for like a Shabbos meal, and the conversation becomes negative, she'll say, excuse me, I do not allow negativity in my house. It has to stop right now.
He's strong in that.
Yeah.
Even if it's not polite, doesn't care.
Stops it dead in its tracks.
Is that your wife?
Yeah. 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 Oh, I shouldn't talk about
it. She's a social worker, so.
So, a good husband tells his wife to deal with her parents, to take care of her parents and stuff like that. But a good parents should not ask their daughter to come and help in their house, a married daughter. They should tell her daughter to take care of your house, and if you have time, come to us. But first, take care of your husband and children. Tzniut. Now, there's also a halacha regarding tzniut, which has to do with another chaver. You don't want to hurt people. It's Ilchot ben Adam leChaverov from Rav Fuchs, Sefer HaKashrut. So he wrote also this, and he wrote also a book about tefillah. Very nice stuff. Yeah, I like his stuff. Tzniut. What? No, Achshav does not say. Soon he has to say that. This is a mavo. He wants to show how ben Adam leChaverov is everything. Everything in life. You weren't here yesterday. It's even about washing your hands near the bed. If you know someone is, he gets up from the noise of washing the hands. So don't wash your hands near the bed. It's chassidus. It's halacha, but you could also wash in the sink, right? So don't wash your hands near the bed. We said that yesterday. So, news. Mutar min adin leish veisha asher yad al adibot obus kadome. Omnam min adet zlinim anam ikach lakop anim shish mekom acher. A man, it's very important about that. A man and woman are allowed to sit, if you're on the bus sitting now, and a woman, you come, and a woman sitting next to you on the bus.
You say that again?
You're sitting on the bus, and a woman comes in and sits next to you. Mi'ikar adin, it's allowed, it's permitted. It's permitted. If there's another seat, you let her go sit in another seat. You don't have to sit next to a woman, right? But if there's no seat, or you know the person's going to get offended now if you get up, so put yourself all the way to the window. And there's a famous story from Mordechai Eliyahu that he was sitting on the bus, Tzal, and he was learning or something, and a woman comes into the bus and sits next to him. So he didn't get up. He did. He was in his book and he didn't look. Yeah. And then the lady does to him, Mordechai, we have to get off. It was his wife. He didn't even realize. Last time live. He didn't realize. But you see, he didn't get up. Ken? Usually people, if you dress like this, woman doesn't sit next to you, even on the plane, even goyim. that whole kind of situation on planes where they,
what?
If you're dressed like this,
yeah.
A woman a lot of times they won't sex to even
all this season, they
even going. No, so I remember I was flying from Madrid, from Barcelona, back there to Israel, and then the only seats they were, they put me next to a lady, and it was Israelis. And right away she said, I'll change with my friend over here right away. And then she said, and we had other situations where that guy in
Mahashemai.
Remember that? But you left. You let us.
I mean, that situation where the lady booking our baggage.
Right, the Goya booking our baggage in Kiev this year. She says,
she was
I'm gonna see if you guys are set up next to men, not next to women. This Goya, I don't know if she was a Goya or not, but this lady, no, she had a chamsa there.
Really?
Yeah.
She
was too polite.
Yeah.
In Kiev, polite Goya.
Yeah.
Like those ladies in the baggage weren't so polite.
No.
In the Lost and Found. Zulik. Zulik found the Goya that speaks Hebrew.
They learn Hebrew just so they can better with us.
So, now he's going to go through all kinds of Be'al HaVeo during the year. During the Ma'agal HaShana, the. In the Yoyin Nevoyin, if you get up for Sricha so early, right? Some people, they get up so early for Sricha, and on the way to Sricha, they chap a few other Adairs on the way, because they have forgiveness for. For example, yeah? So you have to be careful not to cause other people damage when you get up for Sricha. Get up early, right? Not everyone wants to get up for Sichas early. Are you going to shul at 1 o'clock in the morning? Check it. Not to cause a problem. Night of work. Yeah?
There's people that blow their horns for partners.
For what?
Partners. You go pick up a kid, go to school, you blow your horn.
What time?
It doesn't matter.
It 6 o'clock. So what?
Usually it's
in the morning?
Yeah. 7.
It's a bit early.
Absolutely. I think it's really important to do that.
If it's a school and it's the middle of the day and there's cars and everything, no.
But I'm saying early in the morning, who wants the first thing you want to hear is the car?
When you're picking up 4 or 5 different kids, so been there, done that.
Get out of your cell phone. What do you mean?
Yeah,
WhatsApps, or whatever it's called. So, there's a mitzvah to bless your fellow friend on the night of Rosh Hashanah. You can say it in English, you can say it in Russian, whatever language you feel like. And when do you bless them? Until the latest that you'll bless is until the chatzos of the first day. Usually it's just the first night you bless. Because if you bless afterwards, it's like you're saying, oh, you weren't signed yet. Only by Yom Kippur you'll be signed. Oh, you're a Beinoni. You don't tell everyone you're Tzaddiki. We're all Tzaddiki. Kol Nidre, everyone's very serious. It doesn't mean you can't show a nice face to your friend. Okay? So, Kol Nidre is serious, and afterwards you wish you could Yom Kippur. You go home. Or you could use something.
Forget the reading on that.
Yeah, it's Allah over here. Then the Kabir, Kol Adam, Serf, and Yafon.
That's
Allah. The famous story with Rabbi Yisrael Salanter that they were waiting for him in Shul to come. He wasn't coming. What happened? So they went to look for him. They see him in the son's house rocking a stroller. So they asked him, why are you here? He said, the mother went to Kol Nidre. I was on the way to Kol Nidre, and I heard a baby crying. She probably thought he'd be sleeping for the next half an hour. So I said, I'll stay here. I'll rock the stroller. Kol Nidre is Kol Nidre. If there's a baby crying here, take care of it. He wasn't rocking the stroller. He was on the army was knocking it. So, on Erev Yom Kippur, you're supposed to ask forgiveness for your friend. If it's some stuff, light things, so just general forgiveness is okay. But if it's something specific that his friend is harmed for, okay? So he needs to tell him. Okay? I did so and so, please forgive me. Okay? And if it's something which he knows, if he tells his friend will be very upset and be very sorry for it, you don't have to tell him what he did. You can just say it in general. And we'll talk about it later, more details about this. And sukkahs, you're not allowed to build your sukkah lechatchila on someone else's private property. But d'yevid, if you build it on someone else's property, you can be yotze in the sukkah. But you don't build it lechatchila without permission on someone else's private property. Private property. Okay? Now, even if you stole wood from someone and you build a sukkah, you're yotze. So,
you have to give back the wood.
Or you have to give him back the wood.
Let's say you build a sukkah, you stole a piece of wood.
But after the sukkah, you have to give him back all the wood you stole from him.
No, you build the house or something. You give the value.
If your friend doesn't know you're here, you're coming, and you sit in the sukkah, it's not okay. You have to ask permission to use the sukkah. You shouldn't make a bracha leishah b'sukkah into the sukkah. I told all the neighbors, you can use my sukkah, your neighbor. I went away for the chag. I told them I don't lock my sukkah. Purpose, take whatever you want from the sukkah. There's a bed there, there's a table, there's a chair. Take it if you need the sukkah.
That's what we did.
Yeah, I don't like people lock the sukkah.
The question is, do you have to put a big sign up saying, you know, everyone's welcome and everything else? We're just, you know, just
depends what time, what neighborhood you live in.
Next.
Yeah, you could.
Back when we followed by women and sitting
there. So what?
Can't just invite anyone. You have to come back, there's cats and stuff in there, huh?
If you're building a sukkah, to make sure not to build a sukkah in hours where you're going to bother other people, it's true that the law said at 11 o'clock at night. It doesn't mean you have to bang the hammer until 11 o'clock at night. A neighborhood, you know, there's older people who want to sleep early, there's the kids. Right? My kids go to sleep at 8 o'clock. Now people are not banging?
You have to be sensitive.
Did you ask him to stop? No, I didn't bother. Someone told me it was building like at 10 o'clock and the lady came down and told him, so he stopped right away. He didn't realize.
The problem is the air fireworks.
So, the fireworks. Not only the beer.
You're also, I think, not allowed between 2 and 4 in the afternoon.
It's a law here in Israel.
I know that. Trying to wrap up, I saw the circuit said that you made like a band and stuff, like you were playing music and stuff.
People are resting.
It's cops come saying that, like, it was 3:30. They come. You're not allowed to.
Another half an hour.
After half hour, you can't. And this is really going on for 3 hours.
The crowd people complain. During sukkahs, during the chag, so for the sukkah people hear everything, so also be sensitive, don't sing too loud. If you know people might be resting now, you ate the meal a little bit late, be sensitive to other people. So, okay. Also to be careful, you're bringing food up and down from the neighborhood, make sure not to make dirty the place, right? The hallway and the stairwell. And if you did, so clean it up. So, I said that. That was it for today. The church, because we had a Maimon, Baruch Hashem.